that you say is will be will be recorded. Okay. So last time we finally, of course, concluded our half year presentation on the dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena. And so now we are going to start a new series of presentation. And this year we celebrate the 200th birthday of St. John Bosco. So this year, August 16, will be his 200th birthday. He was born in the year 1815, August 16. And you might know that John Paul II honored St. John Bosco with the title Father and Teacher of Youth. Father and Teacher of Youth. The Salesian called the mother of St. John Bosco Mama Margaret. Mama Margaret. And she is actually declared venerable by Pope Benedict XVI in the year 2006. So there's a case for her canonization. Nowadays, when we go on cemetery, they will make you buy a vault to contain the coffin. Because in Vancouver, it's a bit wet. If there's no vault, after some years, all your bones are gone. So that's what happened to to Margaret. You know, they tried to open her grave, nothing left. So you will not see a first-class relics of Margaret, even though when she will be beatified in the future. Yeah, we do have relics of St. John Bosco, but not her mother. St. John Bosco's father is Francis Bosco. And Francis Bosco, actually, he married twice. The first wife's name is Maria Bosco. So the couple have a son, and the son is Anthony Bosco. And so that's the family. You know, the grandma, from the father's side, Francis Bosco, Maria Gospel, Dr. Bosco, and Anthony. So they are a family. So Margaret, how he came into the picture. So Margaret was living in a place that, she went to market every week, and she would pass by on the main road. Here is the house of the Bosco. So she would be resting there, and the little boy Anthony would come out to welcome and also bring some water to the animal that Margaret was bringing. So the Anthony was pretty friendly to Margaret. But in 1811 February, one evening when Margaret was going home, she saw Anthony was really sad, crying. Because at home, both the grandma and the mother, they were really, really sick. Turned out that the grandma recovered, but the mother died. So Margaret died, Maria died in a pretty young age. So Anthony, from that time on, he became an angry Anthony. Become bitter, unfriendly, and bad temper. And so Francis was trying to manage the home, you know, with only one by himself. And then later on, you know, he felt that he need to find another wife so that somebody can look after Anthony. So, but now, you know, who can he find? You know, Margaret was quite happy to be at home and looking after her parents. No desire to get married. Some of the more wealthy people tried to get Margaret to marry, but she always turned them down, even make them a joke. So everybody in his right mind won't ask for Margaret. But one day, the grandma, he suggests to Francis to ask for Margaret. And so, you know, the son explained to his mom, you know, she refused so many people, and anybody in his right mind, you know, won't ask for her. And the grandma mentioned, you know, she is really kind, she's really good. And Francis said, how do you know that? And then what happened was that, you know, after the death of Maria, when Margaret was passing the house, she always went to see the grandma, always show her affection, chat with her, pray with her, and so the grandma really liked Margaret. So in order to please the mother, Francis just went to Margaret's home. Now, Margaret's father was there, and so he was surprised to see Francis. And then he was even more surprised when he knew why he was coming. So the father said, just go home, she won't say yes to you, just go. And then Francis just say, but can you at least tell her that I came for this purpose? Okay, just go. So the dad talked to the mom, and the parents went to Margaret. Whatever happened, it happened. Margaret actually agreed. So Margaret actually refused other rich people, but she would be willing to marry a poor farmer with Anthony, that little boy that was a bit troublesome. So after Margaret and Francis got married, they had two more children. In the year 1813, she gave birth to Joseph Bosco, and then in the year 1815, 200 years ago, she gave birth to St. John Bosco. So that's the picture. You know, you see there's a family now with Francis, Margaret, the grandma still there, and three boys. But one day in the early May of 1817, when St. John Bosco was not yet 2 years old, one day Francis came back to work and he was all sweat because it was a hard day of work. And then he made the mistake. He went to a cool room to do some work there. And that sudden change of temperature made him extremely sick. So eventually, he was so sick that obviously nothing could be done and he was dying. And so when a couple of days before he died, it was a Friday, and Francis told Margaret, "See how good God is. He calls me to him today, Friday, the day of our divine Redeemer's death, at the very hour in which he died on the cross, and at the very same age of his mortal life." When Francis married Margaret, Francis was 28 and Margaret was 24. And so 5 years after they got married, Francis died, so he was 33 when he died. And I don't think he died on a Friday, though, because I think the day he died is May the 11th. So I looked up, it should be a Sunday. But I think Friday is when before he actually get into dying, so he was saying things like that to Margaret. But also before he died, he asked Margaret to resign herself completely to the will of God and not to be grieved too much for his death. And he said to her, "I entrust our children to you, but take special care of little John." St. John Bosco was a baby, not yet 2 years old at that time. So he died on May 11, 1817. So St. John Bosco wrote about that his father died. St. John Bosco wrote later on, "I was not yet 2 years old when my father died. I can't even recall his features. I remember only the words of my mother, 'Here you are, Johnny, left without a father.' We were all leaving the room where he had died, but I insist on staying behind." And then the mother said, "Come, Johnny." But I would not move. And he said, "If Daddy is not coming, I won't come." And then the mother said, "Oh, my poor son, come with me. You no longer have a father." And then, of course, after those words, the woman start crying, and the baby start crying. They say, "I cry because she cried, because he told her what's going on. She cried, so I start crying." And then he wrote, "What can a child understand at that age? But those words, 'Here you are without a father,' remain always in my mind. This is the earliest memory of my life. So that's the earliest memory of St. John Bosco life when he was not yet 2 years old. So, you know, Margaret was actually a really beautiful woman. And after her husband died, there was a really, you know, attractive proposal. Somebody wanted to marry her. But she turned it down saying, "God gave me a husband and took him from me. As he lay dying, he entrusted 3 sons to me. I would be a cruel mother were I to abandon them when they need me most." So, and she was being assured that the children would be entrusted to a guardian who would take excellent care of them. But Margaret said, "A guardian is only a friend. I am their mother. I would not desert them for all the gold in the world. My duty is to dedicate myself entirely to their Christian upbringing." So she also made that clear that she herself would take care of her elderly mother-in-law. So she was a woman who really serious about the upbringing of her 3 sons, including Anthony, who was not her biological son, but you know, but was a son from the first wife of Francis Bosco. Now, she always inspired the idea of God on the heart and mind of the 3 children. You know, when there was a beautiful starry night, she would say, "God created the world and adorned it with all those stars. If the sky is so beautiful, what must heaven be like?" And then in the springtime, he would say, "How many beautiful things the Lord has created for us." And then when there was thunderstorm and all the boys were so scared together, and she would say, "How powerful is the Lord, who can stand against him? Let us keep free from sin." And then when the hail storm destroyed the crops, and she would look at the damage, and she would comment, "The Lord gave it to us, and the Lord took it away. He is the master of the harvest. He knows best. But remember that the wicked will be punished, and no one can mock God." And then when the harvest was good, she would say, "Let us give thanks to the Lord, how good he has been in giving us our daily bread." So, and then sometimes when they are really in a crossy fire, and there was snow and wind outside, and she would say, "How grateful we should be to the Lord, who provides us with all we need. God is truly a Father, our Father, who is in heaven." So, she was really a good mother, really dedicated to the upbringing of her 3 children, and doing her best to instill the idea of God in the hearts of them. Now, when they are growing up, Anthony continued to be a really difficult child. And he was also resentful because, you know, when the daddy was alive, when he found the daddy had affection to the 2 younger brothers, he felt that, you know, his right is being taken away. Later on, when he was getting older, he realized that the inheritance will be now reduced by 2/3 because the 3 brothers. He was even more resentful. And so he was really difficult. And he was oftentimes, you know, even hit his 2 little brothers. And Margaret had to intervene to shield the 2 brothers from Anthony. But also, Margaret had a self-imposed rule. She would never lay a hand on Anthony. In those days, you know, for mother, it would be so easy, it just, you know, slap on the face, and the child would be on their knees. But Margaret made the point she would never lay hand on Anthony. Now, that reminds me in the life of St. John Bosco, one of the biography of St. John Bosco, that at the age of 60, after training thousands of boys, St. John Bosco himself could not remember that he ever used direct punishment. So maybe that's something influenced because of his mother. Because even though Anthony was difficult, The mother never laid hands on Anthony. One time, Anthony was offended by the two brothers and would not forgive. During night prayers, while our father was recited at the words, "Forgive us our trespasses," Margaret turned to Anthony and said, "You had better not say those words." Anthony answered, "Why not? That's what the prayer says." Margaret said, "Why? Do you have the nerve to say them when you yourself won't forgive others? When you are still mad at your brothers after have almost broke their heads? Aren't you afraid that the Lord will punish you for saying such words? Coming from you, they would be a lie and an insult to God. Since you do not want to forgive, how can you expect our Lord to forgive you when you so stubbornly refuse to forgive others?" And Anthony admitted that he was wrong and said, "I was wrong, Mama, forgive me." Now, Margaret made a point to give, you know, special treatment to Anthony because she knew that he was resentful. So she tried to, you know, treat him really well. And she would calm Anthony's anger with kind words and patience. But sometimes Anthony would lose control and confront Margaret, you know, with fits, you know, and also would call her stepmother. So that's how he would call her, stepmother. And Margaret would kindly say, "Listen, Anthony, I have called you my son, and I mean what I say. You are my son because you are Francis' son, because your father entrusted you to me, and because I love you as such. You know that if I wanted to, I could bring you to your knees, but I don't want to. I'll make it a point never to use physical force to assert my authority over my children. You are my son, and I don't want to hit you. You may do as you wish, but you are doing wrong." And then she would just withdraw from that point and leave Anthony alone. And Anthony would be embarrassed, confused, and walk away. And then when his anger, you know, he calmed down, no more anger, and he would usually apologize. So, we must say that, you know, Margaret was really, really patient with Anthony. And eventually, it bore fruit. Now, of course, it's still a lot of drama, you know, the story will come at one point that, you know, Margaret had to painfully send John Bosco away because of the brother. And then later on, you know, Margaret had to threaten to go into legal action in order to divide the inheritance so that they can separate and be at peace. But, you know, Margaret was always patient with Anthony. Eventually, you know, over the years, he mellowed so much, Anthony, that he had the reputation eventually of being a man worthy of respect and easy to get along with. And he was also known to be a friend that could be trusted and eagerly sought for his cheerful companion, for cheerful company. And also when he was as an adult later on, he always showed great love and respect for Margaret. So he visited her frequently and always addressing her as a mother. And later on, you know, when she was moved to Turin, where St. John Bosco was doing his work, he would travel just to see Margaret and enjoy her company for a few hours. And especially, he would listen to her counsel. So eventually, Anthony became a changed person. Now, for St. John Bosco, while he was growing up in that house, they have a few different things that few interesting story that happened in his life, in his young life. So one time he was St. John Bosco got into serious trouble. So he wanted to run out to play, so he left the door of the rabbit pen open. And all the rabbits ran out. It was a job to bring them back. So back in the garden, Margaret tried to catch some breath. And then she said, "John, give me that rod." And then R-O-D, huh? So you know it's for hitting children, huh? So there's a boy back away towards the door. Mama, what do you want it for? Just bring it and you will see. Her tone was firm, and John brought the rod and gave it to her. You don't want to use it on me? And why not, when you have been, and we have been up to such mischief? Mischief, have you hear that word? Mischief. Yeah, yeah. And then John Bosco say, Mama, I won't do it again, promise. And then they both already smiling. Yeah. And then another time, you know, it was a hot day. Joseph and John came back from the vineyard and they want water. And so Margaret poured up a bucket of fresh water from the well, and then she gave one to Joseph first to drink. John was offended when Mother turned to him and he refused the water. Without a word, Margaret put the bucket, you know, away in the kitchen, shut the door. A minute later, John shyly came inside. Mama. Yes? Won't you give me some water too? I thought you were not thirsty. I'm sorry, Mama. That's a good boy. So he gave him a drink. So, one evening, Johnny, St. John Bosco, Mama, they visited the grandma, grandparents. The whole family gathered around the table for supper. The room was dark, and light only with a small oil lamp. Suddenly, a suspicious noise came from above. Once, twice, and then the noise came again and again. And so all the women, they make the sign of the cross. And then all the people, all the children, they come, let's say, go to their mom, mommy. And so one of the older lady say, oh, it was the devil, and now it's back. You know, there was noise like that before. It was the devil. It's coming back. And John and everybody really, really afraid. And then John broke the silence. It's only a bird, not a devil. And they silenced his, you know, and then the noise came again. And the loud dragging, you know, proved their fears. And they all looked up, terrified, at the wooden ceiling at the loft where the farm produce were kept. And John said, let's go up and see. And then they say, you are mad. Margaret, stop him. You can't play about with the devil. But the boy already lit the lamp, and they got hold of a stick. And then Mother said, why not wait for the morning? And then John Bosco said, Mama, are you afraid too? And then Margaret said, no, I will come with you. They climbed the wooden ladder. The others also joined them with the stick. And then John pushed the door open and held the lamp. Look there in the corner! But the woman cried. They all looked. An upside down green basket was moving and advancing towards them. John took a step forward. And then they shout, be careful, it's bewitched. So John got hold of the basket and put it open, and a fake hand. Shaken.
What?
It's a hand. Shaken hand. So, and then they all are laughing. The devil is only a hand. So, that's what happened. Another time, you know, John Bosco was trying to get something. I think they were playing game to hide stuff. I think it was a bird cage. There's one on top of the cupboard. So he was trying to get that. So he was a little boy, you know, remember he was only, how old was he now? It's hard to know. There's no year. They should put the year on the story, you know. So a few years old, you know. So he was still little. So he was standing on a chair, you know, on the tip of his toes, and trying to get the thing done. And then, crash! What is that? A jar of oil fell to the ground.
Uh-oh.
You know, oil is expensive, you know. And so Joseph, his brother, came and what will Mother say? He said. So the brothers really worked to clean up the mess, you know. But, you know, the glass is easy to gather up, but the oil, they smell, you know. And they spread on the ground, nothing they could do about that.
It's fault.
So for half an hour, John kept silent. And then he pulled out his pen knife, went out, get a really long branch, and then he tried to decorate that with little rings, you know. And then when mommy came back home, Joseph Heston, he just went behind, and John went towards her. Good evening, mama. How are you feeling? Have had a nice day? Yes, yes. And you boys, have you behaved? I hope. Well, mama, look at this. And so he presented the rod to him, you know, the stick, with his hand, you know. What is this time? This time I really deserve, you know, canning. I have broken the jar of oil. So he told the whole story. So, and I bought you this because this time I really deserve it. Take it, mama. So he offered like such a look that mother couldn't help laughing. And then John Bosco also joined in laughing, relief. And then she took him by the hand, and together they walked up the slope towards the house. And then, so she said, you know, I feel bad about the oil, but I'm glad that you told me the whole truth. Be careful in future, you know how expensive oil is. So anyhow, yeah. So 10 years old Joseph, so John Bosco was around 8 years old at that time. Yeah, so they finally put that age for Joseph. So basically, they're talking about, you know, the two brothers have fun. They have some fun together. But they do terribly afraid of Anthony. Because Anthony is 7 years older than John Bosco. And so he's much bigger. And he is unpredictable. You know, with Margaret, it's almost a love-hate relationship. Sometimes he will be treating Margaret with respect and love, and sometimes it will be outburst of anger, is uncontrollable. But Margaret realized that, you know, he is a hypersensitive little child, you know, miss his father, miss his mother. So she treat him with a really great patience and love. And as I mentioned, that eventually Anthony did become a good man. And but when he was young, he was the one, basically he was the one who big trouble with John Bosco was John Bosco, when we'll talk about that next time, when he realized his vocation to be a priest. One of the things to be a priest is you must study. So you have to go to seminary. So John Bosco would be also eager to study so that he could eventually enter the seminary. But Anthony would want his brother to be just like him, to be a farmer, you know, to have muscle, you know, work, busy working. So Anthony would be really against John Bosco studying. You know, sometimes when he was studying, he would just throw the book away, you know, really, really bossy. And so eventually things got so bad that Margaret had to send John Bosco away to somewhere else so that there can be peace in the home. So that's what we'll be talking about that next time. So enough story for today.